We read the holy and inspired word of God this morning from Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Word of God in Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the world? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We read the word of God that far this morning. The text for our sermon is verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah 40 is a beautiful word of comfort to the Church of Jesus Christ. In the first 39 chapters of the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah spoke words of rebuke to the nation of Judah and warned them of the coming captivity in Babylon. Now here in chapter 40 and what follows to the end of the prophecy, God commands Isaiah to speak comfort to his people. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Isaiah is to proclaim to the people the comfort of the gospel, that their sins are forgiven them for Jesus' sake, that God in his mercy will lead them out of captivity, bring them again to their home in Jerusalem. And what stands out in Isaiah 40 is the greatness of the God who cares for his people. Isaiah 40 reveals the sovereignty of God, his might and power on display, the fact that there is no one or no thing that can compare to him. But Isaiah 40 also reveals the tenderness, the mercy, the compassion, the pity, the fatherly love that God has to his people in Christ. He is the God of sovereign might, the God who is able to provide for the needs of his people. He is also the God of tender mercy, who's willing to provide for them what they need. And that's indicated in our text especially, where it speaks of God as our tender shepherd who carries the little lambs in his arms, who gently leads the mothers with young. How great is our God of sovereign might and of tender mercy. This is a word of comfort to us, a word of comfort to all of the sheep in the flock of Jesus Christ. The thrust of this passage is to speak a word of comfort to all of God's people in the struggles and the hardships that they experience. This is not just a word of God for little lambs and for mothers. It's a word of God for old and young, male and female, single or married. The comfort of God's tender care for us. though the thrust of this word of God is comfort for all of God's people, there is special application that can be made on the occasion of infant baptism. The text does speak of the little lambs and of the mothers with young in the Church of Jesus Christ, and the comfort that that is to us, knowing that our Good Shepherd takes the little lambs in his arms and carries them in his bosom and gently leads those that are with young. Call your attention to this word of God this morning under the theme, He Gathers the Lambs. First of all, notice the needy sheep. Secondly, the tender shepherd. And then thirdly, the certain outcome. Prophet Isaiah addresses these words to the Old Testament Church of Christ. And what's indicated in the text and the context is the idea that God's people are on a pilgrimage, they're on a journey. The prophet Isaiah addresses the people as if they are already in captivity in Babylon, even though he lived well before that captivity, and that was years and years yet in the future. God gives Isaiah to speak as if the nation is already in captivity in Babylon, and he's to address to them a word of comfort that God will lead them out of that captivity and bring them back to their home in Jerusalem. That certainly is comfort for God's people, but perhaps they were also tempted to be afraid of the journey. The way from Babylon to Jerusalem was a difficult, treacherous path. It was a journey of many, many miles. It traveled over often some of the harshest, most difficult terrain. God's people were a small minority, so that as they traveled on this uncertain way, they were especially vulnerable to robbers and to enemies. The way was difficult. The people might be tempted to fear, to discouragement and exhaustion as they considered the pilgrim way that God was leading them. They needed comfort. But not only do they need comfort on account of the difficulty of the way that they must travel, they also need that comfort on account of the fact that they themselves are so weak and needy. That's emphasized in the text by the reference to God's people by that oft-used figure of sheep. The sheep of the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sheep are not kind, intelligent creatures, but they're often dirty and difficult. They're stubborn, insisting upon their own way. They're foolish. They're so prone to wander and to go astray. Sheep in themselves have no natural self-defense against predators. They're generally not self-sufficient, but they are so dependent in every way upon a shepherd to care for them, to feed them, to lead them, to protect them. By describing God's people as sheep, that reveals their weakness. But then not only does the text speak generally of the weakness of God's people as sheep, it also indicates that each sheep has their own unique needs and struggles. The text does that by going on to refer to the lambs and those that are with young. The lambs, of course, are the young, newborn sheep. And though in their youth they might have a lot of energy and are racing all around, they very easily tire as they're led on a journey. They're weak, They're helpless, they're without defense, and they're prone to run off and to wander and go astray. They are especially vulnerable to the attacks of the wolves and the other predators. And then the text speaks of those that are with young, literally those that give suck. It's referring to the mothers, the ewes, who either are carrying lambs within them and about to give birth to them, or the fact that they've just given birth to them and provide for their needs. Those mothers need to be handled gently and with care. Other passages of God's Word give that same idea. Genesis 33, verse 13. "And he," that's Jacob, "said to Esau, 'My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me, and if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die.'" Jacob compares the mothers and the lambs to the tender children that he had. They needed to be handled gently. They couldn't be overdriven or they'd be harmed. Same idea in Psalm 78. "He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young." David had a special care for those that are with young. Mothers needed to be handled gently and on the journey, could not be driven too hard or great harm would be done to them. Sheep are needy and with their own special needs and their own unique circumstances. And on account of their own weakness, they need comfort. Describes well our need as the flock of Jesus Christ, and our need as individual believers, individual sheep in the fold of Jesus Christ. Our life on this earth is a pilgrimage, it's a journey. Our home is the new Jerusalem, the heavenly mansions that Jesus Christ has prepared for us. But our life on this earth presently is lived in Babylon. We don't belong to Babylon. We have our citizenship in heaven, but we live in the midst of Babylon. Babylon, which is the wicked, anti-Christian world. All our life long is a pilgrimage, a journey out of the Babylon of this wicked world to the New Jerusalem of heaven. And though we have the comfort of where the Lord is leading us, our life on this earth is often difficult and treacherous. There are enemies, predators, that would like nothing better than to tear and to devour us. The devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There are the wolves of false teachers that would desire to tear apart and to scatter the flock of Jesus Christ. And in addition, there are the sorrows and the hardships and the trials that God is pleased to send upon us in our pilgrimage. There's the sorrow of the loss of loved ones. There's the difficulty of loneliness. There's sickness and the infirmities of the body and the ailments of old age. There's the great hurt of being sinned against by others. There's strife and division in families and with close friends. All of the other struggles and sorrows that God sends upon us in this life that leave us in ourselves weary We're exhausted. We're tempted to be discouraged on account of the way He leads us. We're tempted to fear and to worry about what's to come and what the next step in our pilgrimage will bring. The way is difficult, and on account of that, we need comfort. And we need comfort also and especially because of our own weakness as sheep. The context in Isaiah 40 emphasizes in several places how weak we are. Verses 6 and 7, the voice said, "Cry," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass." And then at the end of the chapter, verses 29 and 30, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." Think of those who are in the prime of life. Young men who we think are the epitome of strength. "Even they shall faint and be weary and shall utterly fall." Even those we might think to be the strongest among us are weak. That's illustrated in our text as well with the reference to the lambs and to the mothers with young. Not that they only are weak while the rest of us are strong, but this illustrates the fact of how weak we all are. Think of the little lambs in the Church of Jesus Christ, just a few days old, and how weak and helpless and defenseless they are. They are entirely dependent upon mother to provide for them, to carry the little one in her arms, to feed the little one, to provide for that one in every possible way. And even if that little lamb grows up and becomes a few years old and can walk and start to talk, that little lamb is still dependent upon father and mother to provide the food, to change the diaper, to lay down in bed. The little lambs illustrate weakness, dependency. So also, can that be illustrated with the mothers with young? Now, in many ways, mothers give evidence of great strength that God provides. And yet a mother who's carried a little child in her womb for 9 months will say, "I'm weary, I'm tired. I don't have the energy and the strength to go about all the work and the responsibilities that I feel I have." And then even after she's given birth to the child and says, though there's a renewal of strength, she's still careful. She doesn't overdo it. And there's all the busyness that she now faces with the responsibilities of caring for the little one, up all night long with hardly any sleep when the child cries. And she might be tempted to throw up her hands and say, "I'm weak, I'm tired. I've been going on and on with hardly any sleep and all these responsibilities. I'm weary." That illustrates how weak we all are. We are all needy sheep. We're physically weak. We're grass. We're made out of the dust, and very soon we return to the dust. Our life on this earth is so brief, and it's over, and our strength of youth is gone. We're limited in physical strength and ability, limited in our own supposed understanding and wisdom. We're weak physically. And added to that is the reality that we're sinners. Brought forth into this world by nature, children of wrath. And even as the children of God who are regenerated by the Spirit, we still have that old man of sin that cleaves to all that we do, pollutes and corrupts even our best works. So easily we give in to temptation. We're weak in ourselves, standing before our enemies. The devil is a strong enemy. And in ourselves, we would not stand even for a moment before those enemies. And then there are all of the unique struggles and weaknesses that we have. There's the general weakness that we all share as flesh and blood sinners. But then each of us has our own unique needs, our own unique struggles, our own besetting sins against which we battle. We are weak, needy, defenseless sheep in need of comfort and in need of the care of a shepherd. Comfort of the Word of God to us, needy sheep in the fold of Christ, is that we have such a shepherd, a tender shepherd who cares for us and supplies to us our needs. Jehovah God is our shepherd, and we are His sheep in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. As he declares in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, again, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Those given to Jesus Christ from eternity, God's decree of election, are known and loved by Christ, and He gave His life for them at the cross. And it's only on that basis that we belong to the flock and the fold of Jehovah God. What isn't mentioned explicitly, but what definitely is in view here, is God's covenant of grace with us in Christ. Our Father, our tender shepherd, has established with His chosen in Christ His eternal and unbreakable covenant of grace. And the essence of that is communion and fellowship, friendship with God, the knowledge of intimacy and love. Knowing that God is our Father and we His children, He's our shepherd and we're His precious sheep. He loves us for Christ's sake with a love so great that He gave the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd and the Lamb, who sacrificed His life at the cross for us. He loves us, and in His love for us, He cares for us tenderly. What's important to note is that our good shepherd loves and cares for the little lambs of the flock. As our text indicates, the fact that He gathers the lambs with His arm and carries them in His bosom breathes a spirit of love for them. And that finds its fulfillment, of course, in the New Testament and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read out of the baptism form in Mark chapter 10, gathering the little children into His arms. The children of believers belong to the covenant of God. They belong to his flock and are his little lambs. We rightly oppose the idea that all of the children of believers belong to the covenant of grace. We know that's not the case. Only the children of the promise are the children of the covenant. But we also oppose the idea, that of the Baptists in particular, who say that none of the children of believers belong to the covenant of grace and the sheepfold of God. God is pleased to establish his covenant with believers and their seed. The covenant children already as children belong to God's covenant of grace. They have the reality of fellowship and communion, the intimacy and the love of God. And that's the basis on which we administer to them the sacrament of baptism. Because those covenant children have the reality of the covenant, they must then receive the sign of that, which is the sign of baptism. For the sake of the elect children amongst our children, we administer to them the sacrament of baptism as a sign and a seal of God's covenant of grace with them. And as a good shepherd, Jehovah God tenderly cares for the needs of his sheep. It comes out in three ways in the text. First of all, at the beginning of verse 11, it says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd." And that word "feed" is literally the word "shepherd." He will shepherd his flock like a shepherd. The term refers not just to feeding, but generally to all of the work that belonged to a shepherd. Certainly, feeding the sheep, but also protecting them from enemies, leading and guiding them on the way they were to go, ruling over the flock. The all-comprehensive care is in view there. And then secondly, text goes on to say, "He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom." As a shepherd was leading his flock of sheep somewhere on some journey to some other pasture, there were the little lambs to take care of. They needed special attention and special care because they were prone to tire easily, or they were prone to wander off astray from the rest of the flock. And the good shepherd would gather those lambs up into his arms and he'd hold them close to his bosom, to his chest, loving them and caring for them tenderly. And then third, text ends by saying, "And shall gently lead those that are with young." And that word "gently lead" translates a word in the original Hebrew that is rich in its meaning and its imagery. It means literally to lead to refreshing waters and there to give rest and refreshment. The good shepherd, knowing the need of the mothers with young, would lead them gently, not overdriving them, carefully leading them to quiet waters where they could rest and where they would be refreshed. Jehovah God is our tender shepherd. He's a God of pity, of mercy, and of love to us who are his undeserving sheep. He cares for us in providing for us all that we need, the all-comprehensive shepherding that we stand in need of. If we stand in need of nourishment, He feeds us. Standing in need of strength, He supplies that. Going off astray and wandering, He draws us back again. Being discouraged, He gives comfort and encouragement. He feeds, He guides, He protects, He rules over us in His love and His mercy. And that in all of our own personal unique struggles and needs and our own besetting sins. Not only does He provide generally what we all stand in need of as His sheep, but He knows the needs of each individual sheep and the unique circumstances that He's ordained for them. And He supplies to each the daily measure of grace that they stand in need of. Our good shepherd cares for the lambs of the flock. He loves those little lambs. And He cares for them and all of their unique childish needs. What a comfort, little lambs of the Church of Jesus Christ, to know that you have a tender shepherd in your heavenly Father who takes you up into His arms, who holds you close to His chest. And His love and His care for you. Mothers, those that are with young, you have a good shepherd who cares for you tenderly. The work of a mother is an important work in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's a work with many joys. It's also a work with many burdens and struggles and sorrows. Bearing those sorrows and struggles, mothers know you have a tender shepherd who gently leads. Who leads to the waters and refreshes. And the refreshment that He provides is not this, that He makes all of those burdens go away so that there's no more sorrows and there's no more struggle and difficulty. That's not what He promises. But He does provide refreshment, though the struggles and the burdens aren't taken away and we continue to bear them. The Lord refreshes by leading us to the cross of Jesus Christ and to our Savior. It's in Christ that the mother in Israel finds her refreshment, her peace, her strength, her rest to go on. As a tender shepherd, He gently, gently leads those that are with young. What pity, what mercy, what love our Father and our Shepherd has for us in Christ. Having God as our Shepherd, there's an outcome that's absolutely certain. That's the certainty of His care throughout our sojourn and pilgrimage, and the certain outcome of being brought home. The language of the text is the language of certainty. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm. He shall carry them in His bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. That's the language of certainty and security. That's indicated as well from the context in the description of God and all of His sovereignty and His power. The verse right before our text, verse 10, "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him." And then in what follows, verses 12 and following to the end, it describes the incomparable God. There's no one or no thing that can compare to him. That's verse 18. "To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him?" And again, verse 25, "To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One." He is the sovereign, almighty God who's able to provide for us what we stand in need of. And even in our text, again, there's that indication in reference to his arm. The arm in Scripture is a symbol of might and power and strength, and the fact that he takes the little ones in his arms means not only that he loves them, but that they're secure. They rest in the almighty arms of Jehovah. There's none that can snatch them out of his hand. We are secure in the care of our almighty shepherd, who's willing to provide for us and able as almighty God. That's comfort for us in this life, with the difficulty of the way in which God leads us, with all the struggles with sin and our spiritual enemies, with the difficulty of burdens and trials. We have the certainty of the care of our shepherd every step in our journey, and providing to us what he knows we stand in need of. He leads us to pasture. He guides and directs us on our way. He protects us against our enemy. He rules over us in his love and his grace. It's comfort for living, and that's comfort for dying. We have the certainty and the confidence that our good shepherd will lead us all the way and bring us to Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly home that he's prepared for us. It's comfort to the aged sheep. Elderly sheep who knows himself to be coming to the end of his pilgrimage. Comfort that they have in the face of death, that the good shepherd will lead home. It's comfort to believing parents who mourn the death of a little lamb. There are believing parents who know the death of a child in what we call stillbirth, or know the death of a child shortly after birth, or in their infancy. And there are many, many fathers and mothers who know the silent grief of a child that God takes in what we call miscarriage, that God takes while yet in the womb. Often a silent burden that they bear that very few know about. Comfort to believing parents is that the tender shepherd takes the little lambs who die even in the womb, presses them close to his bosom, and he carries them to their home. As painful and grievous as that is, we have comfort in our sorrow in the tender care of the shepherd for the little lambs, even the littlest lambs in his flock. The outcome that's so certain is this as well. Not only the certainty of his care for us, but that he is glorified. That comes out of the context here. When it says in verse 9, for example, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold your God. This is your God, flock of Jesus Christ, the God who is incomparable in his sovereignty and his might and his wisdom, so that no one or no thing can compare to him. This is your God, flock of Jesus Christ, the tender shepherd who cares, who loves, who pities, who carries the little lambs in his arms and gently leads those that are with young. Little lambs, behold your God. Those that are with young, mothers, behold your God. Flock of Jesus Christ and the sheep of Jesus Christ, behold your God. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, how great thou art and worthy of praise. We praise thee and thank thee for thy tender care for us, needy, helpless sheep. And so, Father, hear now our cry and supply to us that which we stand in need of. Supply to us our needs for the body. Supply to us the needs of our souls. Forgive us of our sins. Strengthen us to serve thee and glorify thee. Grant to us comfort of the gospel, that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and are blessed in him. And in Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.